Okay, everyone, it's 7 o'clock. It's time to call the meeting to order. We'll begin with a report from the bookkeeper.
It's in front of you. If there's any questions, glad to answer.
How about the life bond?
Paid for.
It's a done deal.
If you notice on the bulletin or on our wall over here, we have two letters from the USDA commending the board for their actions and getting them paid off early. They're posted right here on the board.
Great. Yeah, only a few million to go.
And it was taken out, if you look at the bottom where it says as of November the 18th, under the reserve account, there's a miscellaneous reserve account. Mm-hmm. That is the what we have left after paying that bond.
Well, that's amazing, though.
Yeah. So our totals on the front sheet, our totals reflect paying off the bond, but it also reflects paying the interest payment of the Bernardi bond also last month. So that's reflected in these totals at the bottom.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions or comments or anything they see they don't understand?
Kevin, can I ask you just a question?
Sure.
When do we need another vehicle?
Next summer.
Okay. We're not coming up close on one.
No, we'll make it through the winter just fine.
Okay.
I have faith in that.
Good.
We've got one slated for replacement next summer.
Okay. We've got the money, so that's nice to know.
Okay. Now, has everyone reviewed the minutes? Are there any additions or corrections? How much did it was our cash outlay, or what did it end up costing for the repair
at the bridge?
Yeah.
We've not yet received a bill, but I know we will. But it's done. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't. I just read your.
It's done. It looks, I think, as good as what we can hope for it to look. Doug Poorman from Wabash Township really grabbed hold of that and organized it and got it done, and I was very pleased. We have not yet received a bill.
Okay.
How many loads of concrete did you dump in there? You remember? No idea.
I think about 60 is what I want to say.
That's good.
I believe.
Where'd you get it, Kevin?
Some of it came from everybody's rock pile, but some of it came from Paris. Not Paris. Casey.
Martinsville,
the pile over at the concrete plant.
He had a pile.
They've got a huge pile.
Yeah, they've got 1,000 loads over there yet, I imagine.
Yeah,
it's a huge pile.
Yep.
Will the bill go to Foreman?
He'll come from him. Yeah. But he was the organizer of the whole thing after we made our recover job on the water main anyway. So
that's what these pictures
drive down and look at it. It looks pretty good. Yes.
Now we had ideal weather to do it with too. That certainly helped.
Yep.
Okay. All right. It's time for visitors' comments. We have visitors tonight?
She's got the list. Ah.
Comments or
that would.
I'm Cody Hare with Angel Rose Energy. I don't know if you guys. I forget your name, but I know you from the hardware store.
Yeah, Roger Brown.
Roger, good to meet you again. We in the past have bought some water for our oil and gas drilling operation off of one of your hydrants there on Highway 49, just north of Casey by oil field. And I didn't realize we needed a permit to lay a temporary line down the highway right away and underneath a culvert. And the DOT people said that we did. I guess there was a... They called me and said we should have had that. They didn't make a real big deal on the phone to me, but apparently they did with Kevin. And I proceeded to... Well, I told me if there's a bill for anything, just let me know. And never heard anything back. And now, next time I needed water, he said he wouldn't supply it to me because of that issue with the DOT. But I'd already talked to DOT. They said, if it's okay with the water company, we can give you a temporary permit, no big deal. And came in, met with Kevin, and he said he would not supply me any longer like that. That he'd only supply a meter, one-inch meter, which I don't need a permanent meter, and it's not really enough volume to fill 15 frac tanks in the course of 3 or 4 days. It would take me 2 weeks, and they're costing me almost $1,000 a day. So I came to the board tonight to hope you guys could override his decision. I offered to pay in advance for any water, apologize if there was an issue with the DOT, but it seems like the issue probably got overblown for whatever reason. There was no fines or anything, I understand. It's a public utility. I guess I feel like I should be able to buy water if I pay for any mistakes, and apparently there was no extra fees because of that mistake, so that's why I'm here tonight, see if the board will override that decision, continue to sell us water off the fire hydrant like the past. I've got about a $20,000 bill now. I had some delays on this well, and frac tanks are costing me $750 a day. If I didn't have such a hassle truck and water that cost me $10,000, I would have dumped them and brought them back later if I would have had easy access to water, but the situation, we continue
you're
to rent.
You're talking a mile a minute, and I don't understand what you're wanting or what you took.
We're in the oil and gas business, and I was buying
trying
water.
Trying to develop a well?
Well, drilling wells. Drilling wells, and in the past we bought some water off of one of your fire hydrants right there by oil field. The oil field store on Highway 49?
Yes, I know that.
Yeah. And we ran a temporary blue lay flat line along, what, a half a mile down the road underneath the culvert and back up the other side.
Did you pay for it?
For the water, yeah, but didn't know I needed a DOT permit to lay it temporary in there right away there.
Well, normally if you take water out of a fire hydrant...
No, we had the meter. We had the meter. We paid for service and all of that. But the issue was apparently... Kevin says the issue was the DOT gave him a hard time. It was a little unusual, the conversation. The DOT lady called me and she said, is that your... Somebody went in the ditch over there. We didn't notice your line there until just now. Is that your line? I said, yes, you need a permit for that. I said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know. We're done with it anyway. I'll have the guys pick it up. And she says, well, you need to still fill out a permit. I said, well, we're done with it. Well, I still have to have a permit on file. And she said, well, who are you getting the water from? I said, Clark Edgar. And she says, well, they need to fill out the permit. I said, well, hold on. I'm buying it at the meter. That's my lay flat. Why do they need the permit? It didn't make any sense to me. So she called Kevin, and that's all I ever heard about it. She... apparently gave him a hard time or whatever. He can kind of address that a little bit, but
sorry for interruption. At the point that we did a, honestly, we don't want to do the, we did a mistake, but in conscience we didn't know what's going on, because we didn't know we have to do the permit. But it's totally unacceptable. Kevin's attitude was he don't even want to talk to us in the phone, like we is a it's something that we did in
purpose. Like it's something personal or something.
It's, I make me think that it's something personal, you know. I said, he don't want to even talk to us. Really rude, really hard. We came here, meet with him.
He said, hey, I'll give you a check. I write an apology. $1,000, which is twice what the last bill was. No.
I'm the general manager of the company. I said, Cody, we did a mistake. The best thing to do is send a letter with an apology about this situation because it's unfair for this company receiving this hard time for those other guys. So I came personally, I leave the letter, I apologize in person, I said, I'm so sorry, sir. We did a mistake, we admit we did it. Please let me pay all the bills that you go into because of that. He said, no, you don't have to pay nothing, I already talked to these people. Anyway, and additionally, I apologize because I'm not from here, I'm from Ecuador, and I'm in charge of the company. We are just moving the company from Kentucky to Illinois. So we've been having a hard time to find an office manager, accounting, organizing the office. I realized my bill for the water is delayed too. So I apologize for that too. We already paid the bill, but we're late. I'm honestly, we've been late, but that don't mean we don't want to pay the bill or something like that. But that was a big issue for Kevin at the point that, honestly, he was rude with us. He was almost close to calling, almost to hit him. I don't know. I never see such an unprofessional attitude to him. So this is why we offered here.
I mean, I didn't expect this after I offered to pay for the water in advance. I don't think there should have been an issue. The DOT ladies were ready to give me the permit, but they said because he said he wouldn't do it, they wouldn't issue me the permit. So.
Honestly, I think it's something personal because he won't even want to close to him to even hit him. Like, it's all done happen with us. We don't want to do this intentionally. It's totally unfair for us. He denied us the service. Like, he owned this company. Like, he got the power to say, no, I don't give you. Don't even talk to me in the phone. Such a totally unprofessional attitude, honestly.
So I'm irritated. I have a $10,000 trucking bill. I have $20,000 a month I've been paying on these tanks. And if I can't frack this well this week, I may dump this water. But I need to know where I stand with the water company because it cost me $10,000 a truck versus a few thousand dollars to buy it from you guys. So that's why we're here. Ask if you guys will override his decision. We'll pay for any water in advance. It's not an issue. But your public utility, and I guess I'd like to see that.
Is there a fee for the permit from the state?
There's not a direct fee paid to IDOT for this type of a permit, but there's an application required that usually takes a little bit of effort. Typically, you hire an engineer to do it. That's not absolutely necessary.
That's private individual can do it.
I just want to clarify one thing. There is a cost associated with a private company or private individual getting a permit to cross the road. First of all, they won't let you run a temporary hose or temporary pipe through a crossroad culvert. Okay?
No, they said they would let me do it as like the farmers do when they do temporary for pig sewage and all that. They said there was a separate division that Gina handled that, and the other gals handled the permanent borings and all that.
You asked me a question. There is no specific permit fee, but there is some time and effort. If you hire someone to prepare the permit, there's a cost there. And then there's a cost of bonding for the right to use that facility, that utility across the highway, for the term that utility is in there. Now, when you have a public utility such as Clark Egger, that's got an established basis, established finances, and does this on a regular basis with DOT, they waive that bonding requirement based on your general financial ability to cover any cost if there's ever a problem, something springs a leak and it has to be cleaned up. They waive that for you. So if you were the permit applicant and you took responsibility for it, you're a known agency to the Department of Transportation, and they will waive that. I know that when Mr. Heer went in to see if he could get the permit individually, I spoke to Ellie Osborne. She's the permit engineer that you talked to. Her supervisor's name, the permit engineer over the permit division, her name is Teresa Peterson, and I've spoken to her before too. And I asked Ellie after the fact, after I heard what was going on, I asked what happened, and they said they could grant the individual permit, but of course it would have to be done according to their rules as far as to how it crossed the highway, and there would be a bond required. So it was normally $50,000, but they had entertained the idea of reducing the amount of the bond to $25,000. And she said that bond would have to stay in place as long as that water conduit was being used, was in place across the highway. And that, you know, if it was removed or filled in, that then they would release that bond and you could quit paying the annual premium on it. I have no idea what that type of bond
there was a new solution they had found after that conversation. They had found a solution that there was a provision where farmers put these sewage disposal lines for like hog bins and all that where they can run them through their field. There was something that Gina handled that was further in conversation. So,
well,
but either way, that would be my expense if I wanted to bond that for temporary use. That wasn't right. The issue. The issue was he wouldn't supply me the meter, and they said, well, we're not going to bother with the permit because the water company said they're not going to supply you. That's what happened.
If I may, you know, after, I mean, I came into this, the first I really heard anything about this was last spring. This is when the, you know, they called me too. As the engineer, typically we're the engineer for Clark Area, they called me too and said, do you know anything about a temporary water line? And at that point, they'd had an accident, a truck went into the ditch, and that's when they saw it, and they wanted to know, you know, was it supposed to be there? Did it need to be kept in service? You know, just whatever, didn't know anything. And of course, I knew nothing about it at that time. So I've had some discussions with Kevin, and I had some discussions with the District 7 permit people. And yes, at the time, they wanted something on file to show that this was done or that there was some type of a permit record. Ultimately, they decided that was not the right way to handle it, but they said if it was going to be done in the future, they'd have to issue a permit. Now, my understanding, the way the water was sold was it was a special agreement, an informal temporary agreement, with Angel Rose Energy to sell bulk water. And I've been to enough of these meetings and been enough of the project that there isn't an official policy, there hasn't been an official policy adopted to sell bulk water under your bylaws and rules. Okay? So this was a special exception. I assume there was discussion, the first occurrence of this was about 2 years ago. So you may not remember when the original request came. But the way I understood it, the informal temporary agreement was to sell bulk water through a hydrant, a meter attached to the hydrant nozzle, and they agreed on a price per 1,000 gallons for that water to be delivered into a tank truck and hauled down and across the road to use at the site. But it was not intended to be used for a pipeline coming off of that meter. And I think the board had agreed to. So, without trying to take sides of anybody, it sounds to me like the original agreement wasn't satisfactory to Mr. Heer, wasn't getting him, for whatever reason, wasn't getting the water he wanted. And that original agreement is now, you know, we're now outside that original agreement. The original agreement was, yes, I talked, you know, I see Kevin's position. He talked to the board. The board said, yeah, if you, you know, we're not going to install a main or a service line for them, but we can do it on this basis because it's temporary, provided they put it in a truck and haul it to the site. So I think when the line went in, did you notify...
I think
notify,
the truck is irrelevant.
It is relevant.
Once it leaves your meter,
did you notify...
It's my product that leaves the meter.
I can, if I have a permit to go down the highway, it's not your business. If I have a permit to cross, not the board, it's not anybody's business except my own. Whether I pay for it.
I tell you what, I'm just trying to shed light on what the circumstances were.
Yes, at the beginning time we started trucking it.
Did you notify Clark Edgar that you had installed the line and were now using water again?
Why would I notify them I installed my own line? It's on the...
Okay,
the
can I say ground. Something here? Are we controlling this part, or is this just still open forum?
This is an open forum.
Okay.
That's, if you want to know any more...
okay, so our original...
From my end,
as I understand it, then, our original agreement was we got the water out, you loaded it in a truck and took it down the road. And then somewhere along the line it changed. You guys installed a water line without our knowledge.
And basically hooked a flexible hose to the same meter, ran it down the ditch, like you said, about 500.
I offered to truck it from the meter.
And through the crossroad culvert.
Don't want to do that either.
To my knowledge, DOT doesn't allow that. He said there is a means of allowing that by permit. Fine. I'm not aware of that. All I know is the conversation I had with Kevin and the conversations I had with Ellie Osborne and Teresa Peterson at the District 7 office.
Let me just lastly say, I'm not asking the board to pay any of the expenses that would be incurred with permitting with DOT or any bonds or anything. I'm simply requesting have a meter installed and we'll take care of the rest of it.
You mean like at the hydrant?
Yeah, just like we did. We'll prepay it if we have to. We don't care. It's just a matter of... He didn't even want to give me a meter to truck it, so I mean...
Are there any liability issues with it being a flexible line? I mean, as far as PSI, a leak, a blowout, water on the highway...
Backfeeding it.
Yeah, I mean, do you have a pressure reducing valve or do you have a backflow preventer?
There's neither on that system. My problem arose when IDOT didn't approve.
Right.
That put us in a position of risk and liability that I didn't want to face. Right. I didn't want to take.
I would say if you're going to enter into this, you would want to have a permit enforced with IDOT. You would need to be either be party to that or at least get a copy of the approved permit before you start.
I need to have it, they said. I need to fill it out if it's going to be temporary. I need to take care of that. But they wouldn't do it for me because Kevin said he wouldn't supply.
What I wouldn't supply was water through the hydrant anymore. I said that if they wanted to sign a contract, pay a tap fee, then we'd begin the process of getting a permit for a service line underneath 49. And if there was any way that we could legally set a meter for him, then he could run that meter wide open 24 hours a day. But that wasn't enough water. Wasn't enough water to satisfy him. And then I said, then you are more than welcome to come to the board and address the board. And I'll abide by whatever the board says to do. And that's still where I stand.
Haven't we had this question come up before about not being able to run that like to a fertilizer?
There are a lot of places in the district where we couldn't do this at all.
Yeah.
We don't have enough flow, don't have enough pressure. This is one place where we did have, at this hydrant, where we did have, what were you taking, Cody? Probably 80 gallon a minute, maybe. And there's a lot of places in the district we can't do that. We can't do half that, hardly. But this was one where we could. And they pay a premium for it. They pay more per thousand than our regular customers do.
About twice, I think, is it's $3 or something. Seven.
You have a question?
No. You. Yeah, I'm just looking at this. Am I getting this straight? Is we got one to run a line with permits and everything's okayed and checked off, and the one to have them just separate from the meter right there without a line running, and we won't need permits on that one? If they just pull a truck up there and that's
they wanted me to
which should be a meter. Now
it's metered.
I do feel like, I mean, any kind of EPA or state regulations require some sort of black backflow preventer. And I wouldn't want to get crosswise with the EPA about that.
But if you're the proper procedure for taking it from a hydrant into a vessel or a tank is to have an air gap, and that is an acceptable means of backflow prevention. You know, when the rural fire districts use water out of a hydrant, most of them can't pull it directly from the hydrant into the truck because you don't have enough capacity.
Right.
So a lot of, and not just this district, but they'll get a horse trough or a big tank when they run out, and they'll set and they'll do just what you're talking about. They'll fill that tank up, pump out of it at a much faster rate, and then they have to wait for it to fill up again. Pump it out. But there's a physical air gap between the point of discharge from the hydrant and the tank. Normally it's not a problem because you've got a high pressure flow at a hydrant and the backflow prevention is not an issue. Just like it's totally legal to repair a leaking pipe under pressure, even though it's making contact with the soil, if you keep it under a minimum, pressure level, it's totally legitimate to put a rescue clamp on there and repair it. There's a practical, there are practical means of doing things that are allowed by the environmental codes and everything. So it's doable. I think Kevin's just looking at, alternatives. What can you do for them? But I know I've been on the discussion on several of these fertilizer plants and things over the years, and usually the answer is your system can't afford to give them a 2-inch meter or something to deliver a lot more water. This was a creative solution to a specific short-term problem, and I think it's valid, and there are ways to create backflow prevention on it.
These types of bulk water sales have come up from time to time, and it was the board's, when we've talked about this years ago, that they would be handled on a case-by-case basis. And some of them we can do, and some of them we can do a little bit, and some of them we can't do at all. A lot of them we can't do at all.
Well, Kevin, I don't remember this.
But we're saying we've done it before, though, right?
Not this particular issue.
I remember the line laying down Route 49, which nobody came to the board and said, hey, we're going to do this.
No, I don't think they did either.
No, Kevin. I know they did. The only thing I remember about it is when there was an accident over there, and then they called and wanted to know whose hose that was coming from that meter.
Well, I don't know that we can fix that, but they're here now. I mean, I don't know if we can fix what happened 2 years ago. I mean, oops.
This was past summer.
This past last year. I mean,
that's what I'm looking at. Is there solutions that we can keep us, and Kevin, like he's looking out for our protection,
right?
Mm-hmm. Keep us out of the hot water, meet all the requirements that we need, but maybe still service
and
the customer.
Still serve them, yeah.
That's what I want to say. I mean, is there a solution that we can...
I mean, I'm willing to pay any expenses. I don't want you guys to worry about that. Any of the engineering, any of the DOT fees and the DOT bonds. I wasn't requesting any of that. All I was requesting a meter be put up. I mean, really, the DOT gal, I didn't agree. Because the law is, I mean, if it's your property, it's your problem. And it was my blue line, so I don't know why she was trying to blame the water company. Because it's just like at your house, they bring your phone service in. Well, after the inside of your house is not the phone company's responsibility. Kind of the same idea. The meter, same thing with water companies too, and anywhere at the meter, their responsibility stops. So I don't know why the DOT gal was giving them a hard time. But that
could have been
situation.
It could have been embarrassment. They did damage line. Now they're like, oh my gosh, what's going on? Who owns it?
We're sorry. Honestly,
I mean, a lot of this is that sounds like
solution to this thing is they need to go to a landowner and get a easement off the landowner to put a meter in, and we run water to that meter. They pay for the meter, and we run water to it, and then they pull off that meter. That's the solution for
it. Didn't you say though that we can't produce enough at volume?
You're looking at
he's with
18-20 gallons
a minute, enough,
and they want 80 or 100
with a 3/4-inch meter.
Yes.
That's all everybody else has got. I mean, that shouldn't be an issue.
If you've got a hog barn or something, or people, dairy farms, they get probably bigger meters depending on where they're at the line. Kevin said that there's no issue with that volume
at that something about putting
see
up
we can regulate that because we squeeze the hydrant in front of the meter, and then it doesn't matter how wide open the meter, the hydrant gets opened, it'll only let the water go through it that we let go through it. So we in effect regulate it that way, because you can't just run the thing out, or it takes everybody's pressure away from them.
Well, I think that's what they need to do. They need to get a easement from the landowner to put a meter in. And
is there a way to do that down the highway without boring the highway? I mean, can we get an easement?
Mains on the other side from where they're wanting water. The only other way would be to go back to trucking it from the hydrant.
Well, the DOT has said that they would give me the temporary permit, the same one that a farmer would use to dispose of, like pig sewage and all that, to run underneath the highway. They would give me that temporary permit basically to run it just like I was running it the last time they told me I didn't have a permit. That's my understanding. If they won't do that, I'll have to pay the bond fee and, you know, put a bore underneath.
Right.
But
and then we're talking a lot of money.
Well, it's my money. I have to do it. Yeah, I prefer not to do it that way.
But at this point, we are really dumbass because we have a bunch of bills now. We have to track the water.
If I knew I would have water from the hydrant, I would have dumped these little tanks and sent them back, and that would save me probably $30,000.
Duncan, if they bore the highway with something other than a service line, does the EPA consider that a water main?
Yes.
So you're looking at a hot tapping valve and sleeve. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a cased bore.
Right.
You're going to have an operating permit. We're going to have a yellow sheet. It's going to be sanitized, tested, and you're looking at February.
Yeah. Maybe some March. Future field development, though. What's the cost involved if I had to run that main back underneath there?
Well, that would require some study on Duncan's part, but at about $12,000 to $15,000.
That's as good a guess as I could.
Just to run a main underneath that.
And you'd have to get a permit. You'd have to get an EPA permit for that. And there will be no meters, or no potential of meters, between the existing main and the new flush hydrant. And it's going to be really hard to get you correct me if I'm wrong, but I would guess it would be pretty hard to get an operating permit for a stubbed main that's not ever going to have a meter on it and will be abandoned when their job is done.
Yeah, it still sounds more like a temporary connection. I assume you get a permit, but if time is of the essence, and it sounds as though it...
Well, you could always run the main back underneath and then just retap the finnies, and that would solve that problem. There's a house right there that's getting service underneath the highway from you guys. We could bring the main back underneath the highway
The cabin was probably jumping ahead for you, but even if that solution was the solution that you wanted to spend the money on and everything,
right,
we're probably looking at 2 to 3 months out to get it done.
That's why I'm here. I'm
part of it's the EPA issue. You send that in, and assuming it's approved on the first go-round, that's still about a 45-day process to get that permit. And you do have to have a detailed set of plans and specs. They treat it just like any other water main extension, and there is a permitting fee.
Okay.
That has to be paid to EPA when you mail the thing in. So I don't think that's maybe the best solution to your problem.
If I could ask one more question. Is this a one-time thing that you're
looking for? We're planning to keep drilling more wells in that field. And every one of those wells is typically going to be fracked. So,
have you driven up through there, Sandra?
I don't even know where it is.
This is between Casey and Westfield on both sides of 49. Oh, there's an oil boom going on up there like nothing you ever seen. It looks like Texas in the 20s. is that accurate?
Well, pump jacks are smaller, but yeah, you got a lot of pump jacks up there.
Yeah, it's always ask you a question. With the fertilizer plants and things that this water system has served,
okay,
where they can only give them, you know, a service line.
Right.
They set up a storage tank and have a fill and usage. You know,
that's basically what we're doing, except we just have a whole tank battery that that we were filling
up. But I mean, if you can, you know, have a battery of temporary storage tanks, couldn't you make a standard service meter work?
Well,
and keep it within their normal rules and guidelines. And
not really, because it looked like it would take 2 weeks to fill those tanks, and those 15 tanks I've got that are costing me $50 a day per tank, that's $750. So an extra 2 weeks is a lot more money versus, hey, give me a meter, I can fill it in 3 days, those tanks, at 80, 100 gallons a minute.
Yeah, but that those numbers don't add up. I mean, have you actually done calculations?
300,000 gallons is currently what I've got in the tank, so at 100 gallons a minute, what is that? That's a three... How many hours is that?
Well, I wasn't asking you to do the calculations here, but it sounds like you're saying it'd take you 2 weeks to fill all the tanks.
300,000 divided by
100. Whereas you can do it in 3 days if you had the...
30,000 minutes.
And I just heard Kevin say that we can deliver about, what'd you say, 80 out of there versus maybe 20.
Maybe 20. Maybe
20. So that's a ratio of 4-1. So, I mean, at some point you could probably make this work if you had a set schedule and, you know.
What's the difference? Why would the board turn down double the price for the water if I'm handling all the permit issues? All they have to do is bring me a meter. I don't see what.
I know you're going to be here tomorrow.
Well, I'm paying the bill ahead of time, and it's $7 instead of $3.
I don't see your flat line laid down the ditch. That's not really a permanent solution, though, if you're going to continue. And the other side of that coin, I mean, yeah. From that flat line, we can deliver 80 gallons a minute.
Right.
But if we have to drop back to a meter, even an inch meter, what can we get out of that?
20.
Maybe 20.
20 out of an inch meter.
What I did tell him was that we would turn the PRV valve and the vault up and give them main pressure, since it's not going to a house and not going to anybody's plumbing. It'd be just going to a hose that fills a tank. And I'd give him whatever the main had. And we could probably get pretty close, right at 20, I would guess, then, through a standard meter. And that he could run it around the clock. And the if there, we want to remember this too, if the if there is whether or not the landowner would agree to a second meter on his property, or whether the EPA would agree to a special easement allowing us to set a temporary meter for them. And I'm not sure about that, because I've never done that one before.
Well, I think before we make any decisions, I think we need to find out.
That would be Steve Johnson's decision.
Find out whether we can set another meter on the property. There may be a cost involved in that for the landowner to have another meter setting on him.
Well, it'll be just like any other meter set. You're going to have the contract, the tap fee, the boring expense, because that is always withstood by the purchaser of the meter.
Right.
And
I did the math. It's 62 and a half hours versus, so that's 2.5, 3 days versus times 4 would be 12 days. I mean, we're talking another $10,000 with the rental cost in my tanks.
The point is, we rent those tanks to store the water, and the rent of these tanks are really expensive.
Right, yeah, I understand. Yeah. And we're trying to come up with a solution after we've got all the information here, but as Phil stated, I don't think we can make a decision until we've got all the facts. Whether the landowner is interested in another...
Well, the right-of-way the state right-of-way is their property. If they want to give me the permit, the DOT people, that's how they do it. It's their right-of-way. They can do whatever permits they want on their easement. So that's really what we want to try to do is get that temporary permit just to keep pulling off the fire hydrant. That's why we're here asking the board to allow us to continue to do that as long as we get the proper DOT permit.
And you think this would happen how many times? I mean, are we going to have to issue a separate permit for each occurrence?
No, they may leave you the paperwork the last time. They just wouldn't approve it because Kevin had talked, they called Kevin to ask him about it, and they said, oh, I'm not going to supply him water, so she said there's no point to
they issue. They've been already open to help us out. They forgive us the mistake. But apparently Kevin...
Well, I think mainly what Kevin's doing is trying to protect the...
No, it's okay. Yeah. And I understand.
I mean, we'll sign any kind of indemnity thing that if you're worried about the water pressure after the meter, I mean, our liability insurance will kick in. You know, any of that, that it's our pipe after the meter, so you don't have any liability. We'll pay any expenses incurred because of, you know, after the meter.
But you're using, your operation's going to use 300,000 gallon a day?
Yeah.
It's the next operation we're trying to do right now is 300,000 gallons that will be used in the course of about 10 hours.
Yeah.
And actually, my intent was to maybe get less tanks and keep some of it flowing at 80 or 100 gallons a minute just to not quite need so many tanks.
How soon do you need to start this?
Well, yeah, I've got these tanks here. I mean, they either dump them and refill them in January, or it just depends right now. I'm up in the air on my frac schedule, but I need this decision so I know if it's cheaper for me to dump them and refill them later, or if I just need to leave them and keep paying rent on these tanks.
Does this need to be potable water?
Doesn't have to be. You know, there's no.
Have you looked into a source?
No. Nothing, not that'll give me the volume that very close.
Yeah.
Everything's on the other side of the highway. The big pond.
Yeah. Just north of. Just north of Blue Mountain Farm, yeah. There's a large pond.
Yeah. Just there's a pond on the other side of the road. Well, yeah, the one on Blue Mountain is on the east side of the road, or on the west side. And, but, I mean, that's privately owned. They don't really want to sell. So
you haven't talked to them about
it. Yeah, they didn't really want to sell water. So it's easier for me. It's closer for me to just buy it from you guys and pay that fee and just run the line. You know, the DOT won't give us a hard time any longer. They sound like they won't as long as we permit it. It was just a political deal. As long as we permitted it, their bosses were happy, the DOT. So.
Well, and we have to keep them happy.
Right.
Because we work closely together on a lot of
we understand that too.
That ultimately is why I stopped it. Because I don't want to get into any kind of trouble with... I don't want to get in trouble with you either. But I'll get into trouble with you all day before I get into trouble with IDOT. I'm just not... I can't do that.
Maybe...
Or EPA.
Make a decision that we need to look into this a little bit further and give an answer next month.
Well, I don't know why. I mean, I'm not asking you guys to have any expense in this whole situation. I just need the water, you know.
Well, we're
I'll
not
sign indemnity.
I second it.
We better do some more. Well, I can make this motion, yeah.
Making sure we get all the final ones back with the EPA.
We got to get our ducks in the room before we go do something
sure
stupid.
All the stuff's covered because we make a decision now and go forward with it. Without having any,
but he's been selling to other oil companies.
Would it help? Would it help if you renew that application with IDOT, and you know, tell them you've met with the board and subject to them providing the water, have them issue the permit for the temporary pipeline.
That's fine with me.
Why don't you get that in motion and get that sent to Kevin and the board, and they can. You know,
well, I don't really have another month. I was hoping the board would say yes, you know, we'll approve it, and as long as you got the DOT.
We can take care of that. They are really nice people. They want to help us because we are going into a lot of expenses. It's totally expensive for us.
I'm relatively new at this position. Okay. Our normal board president is unable to be here tonight, okay. So I'm sitting in his place. Consequently, I probably don't know everything I need to know. about this. So I'd like to discuss a little further. Once we've gotten needed information from the state, from other people, I'm not sure, but I would like to see if we could call the various board members and poll them on their opinions on this. And perhaps we could reach a decision a little more quickly on what we'd be able to do.
I vote with Carmen. I ask we put up for a vote and go from there. I mean, public meeting here.
Do the rest of you have any feelings about that? What do you think? Do you want to make a decision tonight? Do you want to go to an executive session and discuss it?
We can go in executive session if you want to. You have to have it kind of special.
Well, I'm not sure Wallace fits in under one of the exceptions. It's not the truth.
I don't care if you want to vote. It doesn't matter to me, but
I think we need to look into it a little bit further.
I would think as long as he's getting the permits and paying for everything on that part, it's just like any other customer. He's just buying our water. That's all. I mean, that's all he's doing is he's buying our water. As long as he's willing to get the permits. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I understand. And he's saying he's not trying to. We got people coming out everywhere trying to get us to pay for this and that. He's not even trying to get us to pay for anything. He just wants us to, just like I get our water. Pay my bill, I get our water. I don't have to.
Yeah. So basically,
I really feel that way. I feel like that's all he's asking is to be a customer, and he wants to buy our water.
And it's going to be upset the same way it was before, mm-hmm. but this time all the permits and everything have been crossed.
Yeah, and they're on him. If he's not asking us to get permits. I mean, then I understand if they weren't followed or abided, it'd be on us. But if there is and he ain't doing what he needs to be doing, then that's going to fall back on him.
Right.
I just can't just ask him to buy water.
Please help us out.
Can we meter that from the hydrant again and do it that way? Down the highway, under the highway? And
the risk and liability was not to the infrastructure. The risk and the liability came from IDOT.
And as long as they permit it? I just want to do the right thing for everyone involved here.
Yeah, they told me we wouldn't give the permit because they talked to Kevin and he said he wasn't going to sell me water, so there was no point to do it.
They had agreed to give us a permit.
Did they want a signature from did they want Clark Gage?
No, I was going to actually bond. I was thinking about boring underneath also until they told me that there's that farmer's provision of going underneath the sewage.
Right, yeah. Right.
And they wouldn't even give me.
Does the water company have to agree?
Well, no, I had to just go bond it, right, and I was getting ready to do that, and they said, Kevin said he's not going to sell you water.
Check in on the high farms and pull
your money. Yeah, I just can override Kevin's decision to sell me water. That's all I'm here to ask about is, Kevin stated there's no reason that he can give me the volume off of that meter, so... We're not dealing with a toxic substance. If it leaks, it's my responsibility, my line anyways.
Okay. I've got a motion before me that we... Well, would you like to say it again?
We need to do a little more investigating on it before we decide if this is what we want to do. That's where it's going to be.
I second it.
Or a motion to sell me, to override the decision to sell me water. This is what we're here to ask for.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Are we going to have a special meeting, or are you talking about this motion is to delay it until next meeting?
This motion was to delay it
until next meeting.
Or else till we find out
something. Or until we
get more information before we make a decision.
Yeah.
Because I think if next meeting, what he's sounding, by next meeting, it's going to be on.
I'm losing money day by day here.
Mood issue.
I need to know if I'm going to dump these tanks and refill them in a month, or it costs me $20,000 a month for these tanks.
I understand that, but I also want everyone here on the board before me to be comfortable in our decision.
There's no liability. The board's just selling me water. I'm asking. There's no real liability on the part of the water company. I'm willing to sign that it's our responsibility after the meters, so there's not going to be any.
Okay. Anyway, I've got a motion and a second to table it until we have all of our information intact. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
Okay. Two and two.
Just think of it, you're going to be able to buy a nicer
Jim vote. What was Jim's vote?
No.
Do you want to make the decision this evening and what we're going to do?
Can you sell us some water, please, sir?
If we set a meter, where are we going to set the meter? We're going to set it on a...
Just on the hydrant there.
Grayson.
He wants to hang the hydrant meter back on the hydrant. Yeah, that's what he's wanting to do, correct?
Yes, yeah. You know, just for a week, you know, we might need it for a week and then take it off, and maybe a month later we need it for another week. We've been buying about, the last time we bought $1,200 worth of water, this last time we were needing about $2,000-$3,000 worth.
More concerned about the liability than this.
I don't know what further liability we would have if the state permits.
Please help us.
Rich, could I have your opinion here? What liability we might have if the state permits the line under the highway where the provider of the water?
I'm not sure what you would other than payment. Make sure you get paid by the...
Right, yeah, we do. I feel like we really need to have a contract.
Yeah, the state authorizes it. I'm not sure what liability that would be.
We probably should have a contract.
No problem. We'll prepay it.
And yeah, we payment. I've been informed that it did take you a while to pay.
Yeah, we were switching offices
we payment would be required. No problem. At least a partial payment. I don't want to ask you to pay for more than you're going to use.
Whatever.
So I think we should make our decision. I've got a vote of two yeses, three noes.
Three yeses. Do it then. You don't need it.
Well, I mean, they want to table until we have more information. And the noes are just saying vote on it tonight.
So do you want to table it or do you want to...
Voted 3-2, that's it.
Well, I guess I'm not certain of which way you're
voting. Yeah. They don't know which way you voted, Jim.
Yes, by sir.
Is yours a yes as to do it, or is yours a yes to table it? Is that correct?
Yeah.
I'll table it.
You want to table it? Okay, I guess our decision stands then. I guess we need to gather further information. Be sure everything's in line with the state. And we'll get all that information to each board member as soon as we've got all of it. Perhaps we could, I don't know, is there a way to put it in writing simply?
Yeah, I'll get some information.
And get it to everyone. And then we'll
hand deliver it to each board member if we have to.
Okay,
well, if that saves some time, then that's what we'll do.
Fax mine to me or something.
I'll come by and pick it up if need be.
So there are just four board members in it?
Five plus myself.
I've seen two votes here, three, and then yourself. And how did you vote on that?
I did not vote.
Chairman only votes in the case of a tie.
Are we setting a time to get back with them or them to get back with us?
Well, as quickly as possible. I don't really know how to set a time here. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking it's going to take week to 2 weeks to get our information. It just depends on how quickly the information flows and everyone to digest it.
1st of December is on a Monday, I think. No, maybe it's the 2nd.
I think it's 2nd.
No, we got Thanksgiving, which is holidays.
It's November 30th, it's Saturday.
How long are you going to take to get the IDOT permit?
They wouldn't issue because this is...
How long do you think it's going to take you to get the permit?
It was going to take me a few days until...
Well, I've never had anything go through that office in less than 2 weeks.
I went to their office personally. They're going to help me.
Yeah, they are totally open to help us out.
All I'm saying is maybe you should start on that process and they can work.
They already have my paperwork. They wouldn't issue it because they talked to Kevin.
Yeah, we submit already the paperwork. And they are
so the procedure is they issue you a permit, they send it to you, you sign it, you send it back to them, and then the district engineer signs it. Is that
they
not right?
They sent me paperwork, I filled it all out, sent them the maps they requested and all that, took it to their office. And they said that they talked to the water company because there was no point for them to continue.
Why don't you just ask them to send you the permit and copy it to... I mean, I'll be happy to help you expedite. They'll email it to you or
if the board's going to sell me water, I'll do it. I mean,
well, we're
sounds like
towards
it's,
that.
It sounds like it's contingent upon seeing this permit. I don't mean to be... I'm not trying to cause a problem. I'm just saying. It sounds like that's one of the pieces of information he's looking for. I was just trying to...
Well, that wasn't the conversation with Kevin that day. The conversation was he wasn't going to sell me water, period. So
I think that conversation happened some time ago, and I just asked a question. I wasn't privy to that conversation. I just wondered how long it was going to take me to complete the process.
Well, the good news is we've moved forward now. So you work on your permit, and we'll do our thing that we need to do and get our information. Yeah. You have your ducks in a row. We'll work on our ducks, and...
Okay.
And we'll come together because that ain't going to get anybody. Or the good news is we've really got that part.
Okay. Issues addressed.
All right.
Well, thank you for your time, and
thank
we will.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was
nice meeting
you.
Great convenience, please.
Appreciate
it. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Duncan, go. Duncan.
He stepped out.
Okay. Did you wish to address the board?
That's...
Oh, okay.
Wife?
Oh,
yes, you probably
just keeping an eye on that. Okay. Well, I was looking down when you walked in, so I didn't see you had an escort.
Sandra, we have not held up our end of the deal.
Our next person on the agenda is Duncan, so.
Are we allowed to get people? I'm tired. Probably
have a
cigarette.
Well, I can't have one, so he can't.
There you go. They just said he was going to do that.
We got one. He's got a lot of things to talk about.
Roger?
Sorry.
Did you vote on the minutes?
There you are.
I didn't think that was appropriate. My bookkeeper asked me to get it. We have an outstanding invoice.
Did you get one on the bookkeeping?
To them?
Mm-hmm.
That's wrong. Yeah.
So I probably shouldn't have said that, but I just thought, Anyway, that's got nothing to do with this. That's why I went outside.
Okay.
I apologize.
We need to take care of some official business here before we speak to Duncan. I'd ask that we have a vote to approve the minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. And also a motion to agree. I can't speak anymore. A motion to accept the bookkeeper's report.
So moved.
All of 30 seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Now, on to the next item of business. Duncan, you're on the list as a visitor. Do you wish to address the board for anything?
No, I'm sorry.
He's our engineer.
So. I'm representing the engineering firm. I apologize.
Okay.
I
That's fine. I'm thrilled to pieces you were here today.
Okay.
Me too.
Okay. Next item of business, an update on easements.
There has been no change on the return easements. We have added a few more easements on there, and we have not gotten anything back from those yet.
We're still at 70% in Casey. As
the ones that had refused, we had found another way to go on the other side of the road, so we're trying to get the easements from the other customers.
Okay. All right. But we've not seen anything back from Houston Gates or Hartlow.
We redirected our route because of that.
Okay. All right. Okay. Our engineering representative must be vacationing.
That's Duncan.
Yes, he is vacationing, and he asked me to sit in. Bob Cole normally attends this meeting on behalf of Francis Associates, and I am his employee and a professional engineer, and try to help with anything that you need.
Okay. Do you have any updates for us? Things in the Casey South project progressing normally?
Yes, it is, shall we say, getting started. They've actually trenched it. I don't know the total length they've put in yet, but they've got pipes drawn all over the job. They've actually started trenching this past week. So we're still trying to get a few easement issues worked out. You know, it always comes down to the end. There's always a few people that either just never granted or they refuse and we have to reroute to the other side of the road or something like that. We got a few of those glitches. Hopefully we've got them just about worked out. And there is one other issue with the, not really an issue, but there's one other thing I wanted to mention that our grant administrator, Steve Camprin, he's doing the CDAT grant, taking care of the grant requirements, including, you know, interviewing employees at the contract, make sure they're getting paid prevailing wage, et cetera, et cetera. But he's also been soliciting for low to moderate income users that, as you know, that's the basis of these CEO CDAP grants, is to try to benefit people of lower to moderate income levels. And that's why the grant program is out there. That was the basis of it. So we always try to get as many people notified and signed up as we can. He sent out mailings to people in the area. He had a public meeting over at the Casey Township, and he's posted notices, and he sent me an email the other day and said he's only got two people actually signed up for LMI, and he would appreciate any help that anybody could provide. The more people we get signed up, the better it looks on our future grant applications, you know. So we're trying to make every effort we can. I know you can't force people to come and sign up for something, but if you think there's anybody who might be eligible who's not aware of the program, please pass it along.
Which I did send out a mass letter for all the Casey customers explaining this to him, because they didn't know that he was legit or not.
Mm-hmm.
So we did explain to him that he's working side by side with us. And to fill out the paperwork.
I had a couple of
more
people
grant
about it. And the typical response I got was, I'm not showing them to my income tax.
Right. And you can't force people to do that. And, you know. But it is a good program, and they get some good benefit out of it. It pays their tap fee. If they go through all the rigmarole and sign up and fill out the paperwork, the grant reimburses the tap fee, and then the district, you know, presumably they just send them, if they've already paid a tap fee, they send them a check back for reimburse what they've paid, and the grant covers that. And then it also covers they've increased the amount. It covers up to $1,500 towards the installation of the water service line from the meter to within 5 feet of the house. And then the individual, they have to hire a plumber. The individual users have to, customers have to hire a plumber to connect it to the house plumbing. But the grant, so it pays for their meter connection and then also the service line up to the house.
Now, how does that work for someone? Because like a lot of low income might be renting a property.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to go back to the original landowner, which could be making more income than qualifies.
I believe that's correct. Okay. Yeah. Steve Pamphrin, he's the expert on it, but that sounds, yeah, that sounds right to me. I think in the contract, I asked Kevin about this a while back, that you don't issue a contract to a tenant. The contracts that you issue have to be issued to a landowner.
The landowner.
So, yeah, I guess that would kind of wouldn't work. So, but anyway, I think everybody's done about everything they can do, but I told Steve I would pass that word along. And you know, we just want to show that we made the best faith effort we could to get as many sign-ups as we can. There's no minimum that we have to get, but the more we get, the better it makes us look the next time we play. So.
Okay. All right. The next order of business is old business. Acting upon applying for construction grants for Stratton East and Johnson South. Do we have any information on that, Kevin?
I have none, no.
Well, normally about this time of year, we ask the board for permission to prepare an application or a reapplication, and I guess if the board directs us to do so, we will proceed with that. These usually go in, I believe it's the end of January, first week of February, that these applications have to be in, and usually they wait until, usually end up doing the finishing touches on them right up to the last minute, but I usually start on them like in late November, early December. So it's pretty much according to normal schedule. If the board's ready to proceed with that, we can continue to prepare what's the rest of the application. Do you normally, and you, like I said, you've got, I don't always attend all these meetings and you don't always chair all these meetings, but Freddie Beth Schmutty has been your grant writer for
right.
some time. Do you need to, do you normally have to notify her that you want to do this, or do you kind of work through us on that? Because, I mean, I can call her and send her an email and say, hey, I talked to the board, we need to get cracking on this, and that may be all it takes to get it going.
Yeah, I don't know. I think normally we convey to Bob.
Yeah,
that's right. And then, how does the board feel about this? Are we ready to start that process again?
We want to keep on their schedule and not drop behind. Right. And Freddie Beth knows that schedule better than anybody.
I tell you what, if the board indulges me, I would be more than happy to talk to her about that tomorrow, ask her where we stand on getting the application out. I mean, to talk about it again next meeting is certainly not going to prevent you from getting it done. Like I say, it's usually done in, December and the end of January. So it's not, we're not going to blow a deadline or anything like that. The only question would be, if there was any reason she thought that you wouldn't want to undertake it. I know they've talked about it in the past. It's good to have your other grants, your other grant projects done before you apply for another one. But they've been notifying us later and later and later every year. I don't know that they can hold that against us. And if anyone has a chance of getting done by January and being wrapped up, It's this Casey South job. It's a fairly small project. We got a good start on it right now. I can't see any reason not to apply unless there's something Freddie knows that I don't about the, you know, the effort needed to prepare the application. To me, you can't hurt you to apply. You may not get the award, but I mean, you've been on an annual cycle for many years now and had pretty good luck getting them. So I wouldn't think it would hurt to go ahead with both of them at this point.
Yeah. I move that we notify Freddie Beth that we'd like to proceed with our annual applications.
Okay. And if she has any...
any reservations?
Right. If she has any reservations, I'll report with Bob, or I will report back at the next meeting.
I'll second that.
Okay, I'll put a motion before us to start the grant writing process. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, next order of business. Phosphate in the water. Jason Goble has done some research on this, as I understand. Kevin, is that your...
I've done a lot of work on this in the last month. A lot of it just in the last few days, too. And... I talked today, this morning, as a matter of fact, to Andy Bess. He's an operator, the treatment plant operator for the city of Paris, where they're using an ortho polyphosphate to try to eliminate some of the problems with calcium buildup. And I've talked to several other people. His quote that I've got written down was, "I don't know if this helps or not, but we're going to give it a year." They don't use much of the material. It is a powdered material that is mixed with water and a day tank and agitated, and then it is pulse-fed, much like fluoride is. It would be something we would have to add at the treatment plant. I talked to Corey Lerbs this past week. He is the chemist for Tonka Equipment, the company that supplied our filters out of Minnesota. And I would have believed this. I've talked to him many times over the years. I think he's probably forgot more about treating water than I'll ever learn. He says it would be a profound waste of money. And the only way to remove calcium is to soften the water. He doesn't think it would be much of a help at all. I also tried to contact today Steve Johnson from the Illinois EPA, because one thing this would change, and I know this for a fact, and again, I don't mean to be sounding negative towards this, because if it's something we can do that will improve the quality of the water, I'm all on board for it. But if we're going to make our customers fork over some money and increase our chemical cost, I want it to be a good decision. I want there to be a return on that investment, besides helping a phosphate salesman make his bass boat payment. Steve Johnson was called away to the areas that had been hit by the tornadoes, and was not in his office today. I do know that it will force a change in our operating permit for the plant. That it will it may bring about a change in our discharge permit requirement to discharge the backwash water. It will change our state reports, the testing and sampling requirements will all be different and more time consuming. But if it actually does help hold some of the iron, the calcium in suspension, more or less sequester it, then that may well be worth it anyway. But I'd like to have the opportunity to run some new raw and finished water samples to a independent lab that has no skin in this game, and see first of all if our chemistry has changed much in the last 5 years. And I would also then like to meet with the guy from Water Solutions. And I might like to have one of the people that tells me that it's a waste of money to meet with me at the same time. And let them fight it out and see who's telling me the truth. Because when I have two opinions from people whose opinions I respect and believe opposite of each other, somebody's wrong. And it's going to cost us thousands. And it's going to add to our cost per thousand of finished water. And it's going to add a time. There's going to be a lot more time involved just in the record keeping, sampling. One of the things that Corey Lerb says that it will probably make a real minor improvement real quick, and then the longer you feed it, the worse you'll hate it.
So you just want us to motion to table it?
I would like, to be honest with you, I'd like to table it until January, because I don't want to throw good money after bad.
I agree. That's what I was asking. Yep. I'll motion.
At the same time, if it's good money, I want to spend it.
No, I understand.
Because we have a problem with calcium in our hard old well water from Central Illinois. And
West Terre Haute, same way.
I'm going to ask for some time, and to be honest with you, with the holidays and everything, it's hard to get people on the phone sometimes. It's hard to get meetings set up. I'd like to table it until January. And that's what I would like to ask you to do.
I would motion to table it until January, Kevin.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Okay. I'll have a vote upon it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Is there any additional old business?
No, not for me.
Contract release forms.
So we have Daryl Martin.
Who?
Daryl Martin.
Daryl Martin. Daryl.
He has 2 meters and only needs one.
What counts here?
How do you know? Wabash.
Wabash.
A lot of times they'll apply for 2 meters thinking they might get a second house.
Oh.
A child's going to build a house. Or
that's serious.
Who knows? It could be anything.
And
we also have Rita Elrod. Nobody's living at the residence, and they want it pulled. And they are in Auburn Township.
All right. What's the feeling of the board on these two?
One question I have is, I think I brought it up before, is do we have, like, if someone puts a meter in and then 5 months later decide they don't want it, they can petition board and have it hauled out. Is there, like, an early termination fee, like, anything else in utilities, buy DirecTV, whatever? I mean, is there, like, something saying, hey, you know, be more cautious, think about this more before applying for it and put in? I mean, I know they're paying money up front for it, but it just seems like there should be, like, maybe a fee or something.
There is no, to my knowledge, there is no early termination fee or cancellation fee. They have to have their bill paid up, of course. Normally, the only thing that happens is we lock the copper setter up and pull the meter out and leave everything in place. So the expense in doing that is fairly minimal. Now, as I was talking before the meeting began, we've had requests in the past for a farmer who's got a water meter in the edge of his cornfield, and he hates farming around it. And it's a non-using meter. It's always been a non-using meter, or the house has been torn down or whatever. And they've asked us to physically remove the meter set, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And we have agreed to do that if they would stand the expense of it. Since we went to all no lead and our copper and brass parts, the cost of those parts is so profoundly expensive. The next time somebody wants us to take a meter that's been canceled out of the ground, if it's no lead, I'm going after it. We're going to get her. Because there's a lot of money in that pit now. lots of money in that pit.
Yeah, no kidding.
Absolutely. And we just won't take it back. But it's a long answer to a short question. No, there is no fee at this time other than paying the bill up today.
Well, I can tell you what, historically, when we first started out, we weren't going to cancel any of these meters. But reality hits you in the head when they don't pay their bill. You might just as well shut them down.
That, yeah, because
if they're not going to pay a penny
on it anyway. So you just as well let them cancel.
They weren't supposed to be able to cancel because our loan was based on X number of pits and meters.
A lot of times they don't cancel it is if they're going to resell it. And then that is a good selling point for them if that water's there. Yes. And so a lot of times they will deny releasing it at that point if they're planning on selling it right away because it gives it more of a value to be able to sell a property.
And to my knowledge, we haven't had any short-term meters. I mean, these meters have all been in place longer than I've been around here.
I know. The thing is that if we're putting a meter, I'm just saying we're hoping that we're going to make money off that,
right?
Off the water usage, and they put it in and it never gets used, and then we pull it right back out of the ground. It's like, sorry,
yeah.
Why did you waste our time?
I know what you're saying. I understand.
We do have some that will cancel before we get the, like, say the Casey phase. We've got them signed up, and they may cancel before. But in the meantime, for those two that may have canceled, we've got two that have applied that we didn't have.
There's a lot of people that won't sign up until they see the trencher coming. And then they'll sign up.
So, the board's feelings on these two, do you want to release them?
I'll make a motion we release them.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Carries. Do I have to sign those?
You may want to do that after the next.
I got too many papers.
Hard.
Okay. Do we need to approve the bills first? So the bill committee looked over the bills.
Motion to approve the bills.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Okay. Next item of business. I don't know where this came from. Consider and act upon the resolution for vice chairman to have the authority to execute and sign all documents that the chairman could have in the absence of the chairman. Okay.
The reason we did this was because the original motion actually named the vice chairman by name.
Chairman and vice chairman.
The chairman and vice chairman. Mm-hmm. Well, that vice chairman isn't on the board anymore. So this is more of a generic replacement for that, so that whoever the vice chairman is takes the place of the chair when the chair is absent.
Yep.
Rather than the person.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so everyone's feelings on that? Anybody?
I make a motion that.
I'll second that.
We approve it.
Neil second that. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Aye. You just one?
You keep throwing me these curveballs.
Yes,
sorry.
I think this is one that requires a. Is that the one that requires the signature?
It requires whoever made the motions to sign, and
okay.
Then...
Either one?
It just be whoever motioned it first.
Who made the motion first?
He did.
And then you'll sign something. And then Ashley, you can write everybody else's name. A vote has to be made as to who approves it and who denies it, so...
Second,
did I sign this?
Sign
nice
the second line down there. Right in mine.
Printer sign. Sign.
I just printed mine because he probably couldn't read it after it gets cold.
I
figure
I'd rather
fail. 18th?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
To do?
Did Richard, did you sign it?
Yeah.
No, that's fine. Just as long as all the names are on there.
She might not know what to do with them though.
Yeah,
you could just put your name on there for the eyes or the nose, whichever one you want it for.
Additional new business?
I do have a question.
Okay.
We had 3 cancellations on the KZ project. And it looks like they're getting water from KZ, if I'm understanding it right.
Some of them are, yes.
Okay. My question is, did those people that we had signed up, were they annexed into our area or were they annexed into theirs? And
anybody who is not in the town of KZ is technically annexed into our district because they are the rural area. It's just Casey went out and got, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Casey went ahead and ran some line out to some of the people, just kind of like Paris did. They extended.
That's what I was wondering about. If they were annexed in and we had contracts on them, it's almost like plane jumping, you know. And I'm not trying to get concerned about it. I'm trying to understand if we go ahead and get a project going, we annex these people in, these are the names we're looking at, sir, and somebody else jumps in and says, hey, we got them taken care of, you know.
I think it's fascinating that Casey never ran the line until we started running ours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, unique timing. Is that right, that they can do that once it's annexed into our area?
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, it's a gray area. I don't know.
It really is. I think it's, they don't really annex. It's just like anything that in them is in us.
Right.
But then if the people contract with the city, you go ahead and get city service.
I think the loophole is, and I have limited experience with this, but I think the problem is most cities have... They have a code that says this is our city limit, and you update it whenever you annex new property.
Municipalities, I don't understand.
But there's usually a mile or a mile and a half.
People have to sign a pre-annexation agreement, so the city gets it and they're automatically annexed. So there's, and they charge more for people outside the city.
So even if we get stuff annexed, if the city decides they're going to go for it, make a run for it, because that also calls into grants, and we're, you know, when it comes to grant money, you're applying, you say, hey, these are the people we're servicing. Now, do you have to technically by law, tell them, say, hey, no, we're not servicing those? Does it change the grant money, change the grant structure, or anything?
I don't know about that, but I wouldn't think 2 or 3 houses would have to, district would change.
Yeah, because then in a municipality might be a unique, like you said, gray area, but what happens if it's another company?
Right.
You know, when we got people approaching us on the west, and they can start just going, you know.
Well, they would have to, you know, I mean, we've got the people that are part of our water system, so I'm not sure. I mean, the municipality, right, is different rules. I'm not sure how the water district would come in, because once... So they've annexed into our water district, they're annexing, you know, the township.
Those boundaries are clearly established.
Yeah.
So
another water district can come in, but you get around the municipalities. Usually my experience has been on any street utilities, the city rates. So
yeah.
That's kind of the way that you can do it.
On the other hand, to answer the grant question, the district and their grant writer and their engineer acted in good faith in preparing that grant application, because you do have the right to serve those people. You know, that there's kind of an overlapping gray area. The city may claim a right to do that because they're saying, well, we're working towards annexing that area, but you definitely also have a right to serve those people they requested service. And so the application included, you know, maps that showed where the residences were, but then specifically residences who had actually signed up with you. So, I mean, you've laid everything out, you know, no secrets, everything's out there in that grant app. The grant was awarded on your best efforts to serve those people, and that's not gonna hurt you as far as this grant or future grants. Just like the LMI issue, there's gonna be no direct, you know, penalty but indirectly, it looks better. You know, obviously your balance sheet looks better too the more people you've served. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Well, I just wondered if municipalities can dry down and then pop back up. And, mm-hmm. You know, a town used to be there, but now it's not. But technically, it's still plotted that way. And the board of trustees on that area can consider it like a municipality, unincorporated.
Right.
So it just kind of flows.
Did those people pick them because their water bill is less than ours?
I think that they're just able to get to them faster than we can.
Okay.
That's what I think it boiled down to.
Yeah.
Which is still interesting considering the fact that they've had 20 years to get to them and haven't done it until now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Suddenly they're in a hurry.
I have no idea what Casey's water rates are.
Cheap.
Pardon?
Cheap.
Cheap?
Cheap. Ridiculously cheap.
Even the
rural
ones,
like
don't
get mad. A lot of people applied, but some of those people, I saw the names, had applied prior to the turn of the century with you folks, and you don't know. I mean, it's a long process, and it's been that way on every job. There's been people who've come back and said, "Well, I signed up 10 years ago, but I finally gave up and drilled a new well, so now I don't want it anymore." You know, it happens. So it just takes time to get these things through the grant process and get them built.
Yeah. That's the only thing I wondered, you know, the municipality versus another individual company that's coming from the West.
The only shame of it is we didn't have, and I'm from an engineering standpoint, we did request updated maps and information from the city, and we didn't get a lot of cooperation from the city about where their lines were or their proposed lines. They didn't let us know that they were planning on service. We could have taken them off your line.
Yeah. You know, that's the other thing is, what's their future going? I mean, if they get a couple, are they going to continue still on and grow?
Where were we talking about anyway? The city served them. Is that out there in that area where we were having problems?
Lisa's getting them out for us.
Trying to figure out how to get there?
Memory's not that great, but Lisa can show you all. Plan sheet one. I can think of one specific location that I know.
So I don't know if there's going to be some more coming or
not.
They came down and got a customer here.
New additions, huh?
Got our customer, this customer here.
They take them where they're close together and the pipe's not very long.
They got their line down here.
Quick buck.
Yeah. Set their meters here.
The ones that
and somehow come over and caught. These two people. She's going to still be on our water.
We don't have good
information.
See, that's another question, too, because and they jump across somebody, and somebody's stuck in the middle.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting.
We're still serving that one lady?
Yeah.
And the I don't have any hard data on that, but the story, you know, that I heard was, you know, they made a deal with the city and said, we'll pay for some or all of the main installation to get it here. And I don't know if that's a fact. And then obviously you've done that with people too. If you can't afford to run a main out a half a mile for one service, then the person can, you've got a procedure for that, to request a private extension. And then after 2 years, the district would accept it, you know. And I don't know if the city has a procedure like that or if it's just on a case-by-case basis. And I like I said, I'm not saying, I haven't talked to the people that were served.
The thing I'm wondering is, what's that hold for the future? They got this person, or someone in the middle that's still on us, waiting for us. Now they're being forced to go to the city. Is this going to be something that continues on and just grows and grows, you know?
Hopefully this is a very rare occurrence.
That's what I'm saying, but they're not really talkative about it.
Yeah.
One thing about it, Johnson South and
Stratton East have no municipalities. They don't hardly have any people, and lots of them.
Yeah, in the big picture, hopefully this is a fairly small issue for the district. If you think of the whole district, there's not very many places where this problem can exist, so I just think that's the bright side.
Check.
I kind of got a feel for that. I had to go to St. Bernice, Indiana, the Illinois side of the line, yesterday. And up the Vermilion Road, you get up there a ways, and then you turn east a ways, and you keep thinking, well, you know, I'm thinking, well, if we've got any water lines around here yet, and it's not very populous up in here.
Pretty sparse. Pretty sparse.
Okay. Is there any more new business? For no further business, could I have a motion to adjourn?
Make a motion we adjourn.
And a second? Oh,
second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Just about an hour late. Well, it wouldn't be the case
of I'm sorry, that's me.
Motion carried, and we are adjourned.